A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You go also into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, am I doing you no wrong? Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I'm generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last.'" The Gospel of the Lord. My full-time position is I am an elementary school music teacher in a public school in an urban suburb of Chicago called Cicero. Now, when I tell people I'm a music teacher, people often remark that my teaching position must be a lot of fun. And most times it is. Many days it is a lot of fun. But you know, I wasn't in school 2 weeks, 2 weeks this year, before one student whined and complained and said, "It's not fair." Oy. Now, how many of you have heard that line? I bet if you are parents, you've definitely heard that line. Or a young person, I'm sure, or when we were young, have we heard our brothers, our sisters, or our friends say, "It's not fair. He always gets or she always gets." We've heard that before. But you know, as grown-ups, we say it too, don't we? Absolutely, we do. At work, if someone gets a perk that we think we should get, or we catch grief for something that we have no control over, what do we say? "It's not fair." Yeah, right? It's not fair. Well, that's what today's gospel is all about. People complaining, "It's not fair." The workers are upset. And I have to say, honestly, I can understand their grumpy grumblings. I mean, I could just imagine how I would feel if I had been out in the blistering sun all day doing back-breaking labor, and then in strolls some Johnny-come-lately who gets paid the same wage as me for working 1 measly hour after I've been slaving in the sweltering sun for hours. I'd be kind of mad. And no, I wouldn't think it's fair at all. Or, actually, I think I would really like to try and get that last guy's gig. Work 1 hour for a whole day's pay? Wouldn't that be sweet? Yeah, that's the kind of job I want to get. But, you know, the landowner also makes a valid point. All of these workers are independently hired. This isn't union work like at the school where I teach. So the deal was made, and the landowner isn't balking to shortchange the first workers. He was fair to those first workers. But what does this mean for you and me? Because we all know. We all know that Jesus' parables have deeper meanings. And this parable is about God's love, the topsy-turvy, unconditional love that, if we look at it objectively, isn't fair because we don't deserve it. But God gives it anyway. Well, praise God that I can come to God and be forgiven for my sins, whether they be big or small, and I will receive the same amount of love and forgiveness as someone who came to God far earlier than life and has stayed on that righteous path. And I'm going to receive the same measure of love and forgiveness as those who will come to God long after me. We are so blessed, are we not? We are so blessed that God's love, peace, and forgiveness is given in equal increments to everybody, to the saintly and to the sinner. And now I can tell you absolutely my holiness is nowhere near the holiness of Saint Dominic or any of the other saints, or many of you who are listening to this homily. But I thank God that my portion of God's love and forgiveness is the same portion that St. Dominic received. Wow. Wow. I blessed. Wow, are we blessed? And, you know, another really neat thing about Jesus' parables is the multiple meanings they can have for our lives and for lives throughout history. And that's probably one of the reasons why they are so enduring. One biblical scholar said we really should translate the word parable as meaning riddle. Because these parables or riddles were told by Jesus, and they're often very open-ended, aren't they? People would hear these stories, these riddles, and go home and think about them, ponder the meaning, turn it over in their mind, and then apply the wisdom gained from that parable to areas in their own lives that need health and healing. And this is what we, too, are invited to do. I don't think it's enough to merely appreciate the great bounty of God's love and justice, but we're called as members of the family of God to spread this love and justice to areas in our own lives. Now, as I mentioned before, I teach music in the suburb of Cicero. My students are over 90% Mexican, and many of their parents are here in the United States without documentation. And I'll sometimes encounter coworkers who don't think it's fair for people here illegally to take advantage of America's health system, of our schools, etc. It's not fair. But what would our gospel say to this? Is it fair? Well, Pope John the 23rd, jolly Pope John, he wrote that encyclical, Pacem et Terra, in the 1960s, which spoke to the issue that countries had no right to impose borders on citizens of the earth who may need to cross these borders to gain a better life, often crossing them in times to ensure survival. The workers in today's gospel parable are hired for a full day's wage, all of them. A full day's wage now was often the difference between eating or going hungry for the day. And the landowner, by paying all workers a full day's wage, was ensuring the survival of all of the workers, and perhaps their families as well. And I'll hear the argument, and you probably do too, whether you're in this country or in other countries. Why don't they wait and immigrate legally? Well, what do I know? Maybe I'm just a bleeding heart liberal. Because my last relative to immigrate here was my great-grandmother. And so I asked a coworker for his opinion. Manuel, or Manny as he's known, immigrated from Mexico to the United States legally. And his wife waited in Mexico until her documentations were all in order. And I thought, you know, if anyone would have a right to an opinion on this issue, I think it would be a recent legal immigrant from the country that is receiving the most criticism in our own country. Now, Manny, whether he knew it or not, agreed with Jesus and Jolly Pope John, because he pointed out that the people immigrating are typically not people taking jobs that others desire, like the migrant worker, and yet our economy depends on them. These are the people who picks the tomatoes for the ketchup in our hamburgers. Those most likely those workers are undocumented aliens. They are here working for survival, like the vineyard workers in today's gospel. Now, I certainly don't have the answer to my country's immigration issue or other countries' immigration issues, but I think that our gospel invites us to ponder how we can live lives of generosity and help lead others to that same generosity of spirit with which God has first blessed us. Because we are each called to proclaim the good news of the gospel. And it seems just a little inconsistent at best to proclaim the mercy of God and then to be filled with resentment whenever others experience it. But you know, that same divine mercy can work in us to abolish those areas of pettiness which still lurk within us and replace it with the generosity of heart. We are called to allow God's love and mercy to so transform us that we too can then extend mercy and love towards others. The gospel calls us to open our hearts and to allow God's grace to seep in and saturate every corner, so that instead of saying, "It's not fair," we can proclaim, "It is right. It is just. It is grace. It is the gospel. It is God's way. It is my way."